Wolf and Luke middays, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
It's tough to deny that this Suns team is among the very best in franchise history. If you just want to look at just their flat record, 35 wins now in their first 44 games. It's the second highest win total up to that point in a season in Suns history. 2006-07 team had 36, but this team just continues to produce. Wolf, they continue to win the close games. They continue to win games they're hanging around in the fourth quarter. I had the stat earlier that they're 13-2 this season in games decided by 8 points or less, and the two losses were buzzer beaters by Harrison Barnes and Ja Morant. If it's close, they're going to win. And Devin Booker said after the game last night, they feel that way. Like, if they keep it close, they're probably going to win the game.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And again, the evidence is before us. Just watching the game, they did it again, Basinonians. They pulled it out in the fourth quarter, especially during crunch time, and they won the game. And they did it. What I loved about this, they did it on both ends of the floor, offensively and defensively. It was a combination. You want to talk about complementary basketball? How about that? They went out in the last 6 minutes and 50 seconds. They outscored the Mavericks 22-6 down the stretch. 22-6. Taste it.
This is Jay Crowder after the game talking about endgame situations with this Suns team.
We know what we're trying to get to. We have an understanding of what we're trying to get to at the end of the game. Our playmakers, Chris and Book, do a great job of just putting everybody in position, putting themselves in position and putting other guys in position to close games. So we're very aware and we're all on the same page when it comes to that time of the game. And I think that comes with just playing in playoff situations, knowing each other, trying to figure it out. And I think this year we're just still trying to build and try to be the best we can be in those times.
Now, they weren't scoring for a while. I mean, Dallas has been playing really good defensively. We mentioned they had won 10 of their last 11. They were holding basically everybody under 100 points. They held Golden State and Memphis in that stretch in the 80s, two of the best teams offensively in the NBA this season. And Devin Booker talked about how they can still win even if they're shooting poorly.
Defense, that's what we pride ourselves on. You know, obviously in the first half, or really both halves, we weren't shooting as well as we usually do or tend to. So, you know, just sticking together, understanding it's a 48-minute game, understanding that they played last night, the wear-down effect can come in, and, you know, we just stuck with it.
Look at the way he just mentions it so casually, right? Defense. Mm-hmm. You know, defense, that's what we do. It's what we're all about, right?
No big
there.
Deal. Defense, just defense.
You know? Devin Booker, you know, has really improved his game on the defensive end of the floor. There's no doubt about it. I credit him so much. Oh, my goodness. The competitor that he is, the professional that he is, the fact that he doesn't want to just be a scorer. He wants to be a two-way player. He wants to be legendary, does he not, Kobe? Yes. And because of that, he is trying to get better on the defensive end of the floor. Well, you know what? Trying is one thing. Doing is another. And watching him go up and elevate and absolutely block Dorian Finney-Smith. You got it. That, to me, when I think of the game based on Indians last night and what happened against the Mavericks, I think of that play right there.
Doncic on the dribble drive, gets to the left block, fades, and then throws a pass in the right corner to Finney-Smith, who hangs, gets blocked in the air by Booker, but a foul is called, and quickly three Suns say, let's take another look at that. Monty, you might want to challenge this one.
That right there, honestly, where do you begin when you talk about that play? It is everything that the Phoenix Suns are all about. It's their culture on display in one play. For everybody to see, and you can read into it a million different angles, like Devin Booker himself. Devin Booker, would you say Devin Booker is known as a great defender or more of a great shooter and scorer? He's known as a shooter and a scorer, but we know he's gotten a lot better on the defensive end of the floor. Devin Booker is the Suns' best player. That's what I'm going to say. I love Chris Paul. Absolutely love him and respect him greatly. But Devin Booker, to me, is the Suns' best player on the team. And yet he goes out and models exactly what the culture is. Oh, we play defense around here. You better believe it. It's part of who they are. It's their DNA. And if you don't, watch this play. In crunch time, by the way.
They've always had complete buy-in. Like, I'm sure if Monty Williams were in the studio right now, that would be my question to him. Have you ever had to get Devin Booker to buy in? Because that is one of the most underrated best parts of Devin Booker to me. Is, you know, there was all those years, okay, oh, Devin Booker's going to leave. He's too good. This team doesn't win. Okay, it was either, the push was always, he's not that good because look how bad his team is, or he is good, he's going to leave. Okay, he showed back then he's cut differently. But then when you get Monty Williams in here, he's so coachable. We talk about how coachable DeAndre Ayton is. Devin Booker, all due respect to DA, Devin Booker is a much more polished, great NBA player, yes. And yet... Yeah, come in, coach me. My team's not winning. Give me some coaching.
Yes.
And I just, that is something that doesn't show up in the stat sheet other than the fact that the Suns are 35-9.
What you love about it is it's not like suddenly they get to crunch time and, oh, they start draining threes. They start shooting and making shots. This is a concerted effort on the offense and defensive end of the floor. The defense they played during crunch time as well. Again, they outscored the Mavericks when it mattered most. Now, remember, they had been behind for most of the game.
Yeah.
Going into the fourth quarter, they were down 82-74. And what happened? They outscored them down the stretch 22-6. 22-6, man, on the offensive end of the floor and on the defensive end of the floor. Man, I just am so impressed.
As long as they keep it close. This is Devin Booker's quote after the game about that.
I know we're in a good spot. You know, like I was talking about earlier, we all trust each other. And we had the experience. We had a lot of learning curves last year. But, you know, having that time and that experience together, I think, well, I know put us in a situation where, you know, we never hit the panic button. We never get flustered or out of whack. You know, we just stick to what we do. And, you know, we perform well down the stretch.
So Booker right now, just in terms of MVP odds, is actually tied with Chris Paul and Luka. They were all in that game. They're all tied for ninth in terms of MVP odds. And I'm not going to, you know, I'm not saying he should win it, but he definitely should be. He's inching towards the conversation for sure. Now, the other guy that has made his presence felt ever since he got here, Wolf, has been Bismack Biyombo. Chris Paul talked about that addition and how it has helped this team this year.
I've been talking to Kyle Lowry a lot, too, about Bismack, and he was just, even today, Kyle was like, man, he's so solid. And it's cool because I've known Biz for a long time, being involved in the union, but it's cool to get a chance to play with him, because I keep saying it, like, playing hard is a talent. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And he does that. Mm-hmm. So when you play hard, good things happen, and he's been a huge addition to our team.
Man, you stop and think about it right now, from that 650 mark to the 149 mark of the fourth quarter. The Suns went on a 17-4 run. And you know who was right in the middle of that? Bismack Biyombo.
Mm-hmm.
Right in the middle of it, man. It was 92-95 Mavericks with 5 minutes and 30 seconds to go in the game. And Biyombo had a huge rebound. And you go down and look at it once again. Biyombo and Chris Paul on a pick and roll for 2-1, right out of a timeout. That was incredible. And then he hit a free throw. And then he was also involved with Mikal Bridges and a dunk that actually happened right before the 149 mark. A 17-4 run the Suns went on, and Bismack Biyombo was all over that.
That's not a bad mid-season, hey, we got a bunch of guys on the COVID list, we're just going to add this guy type of acquisition. That's not a trade deadline trade. That's not, you add a guy that isn't going to disrupt what you're doing. You're not counting on him to necessarily do a lot, at least not statistically. But when you need him for a certain instance or a certain situation, like we saw last night, we've seen it a few times, he steps in and he produces. You've shown up all season for the Redbirds, and now Redbird Farms Chicken wants to thank you for your support. Fan of the game, so text FAN to 620-620 and enter for a chance to win $400 to the team shop. That's FAN to 620-620. Coming up, the Cardinals have a lot of free agency decisions on the horizon, but is there a chance they could get priced out of Chase Edmonds and James Conner? We'll get into that next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Wolf and Luke Middays, 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
We're live from the Ak-Chin Community Studios here. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on this Friday afternoon. How are you doing with the whole concept of it being Friday, Wolf?
You know what? Honestly, it's part of the healing process right here. Although I'm not overanalyzing my grief
the way you have been all week long,
I will tell you closure is coming. When the games actually happen on Saturday and Sunday and Monday rolls around, I honestly think it'll be over in the Wolfley compound.
Okay. I'm not quite to the upward turn yet. That's number five, reconstruction and working through, and then acceptance and hope. Although the possibility of a heated meeting did give me some hope. So maybe I'm just jumping all over the place.
Well, also too, listening to J.J. Watt talk gave you a little hope.
So there's some hope. It definitely gave you some hope.
Yes.
So Pro Football Focus, and there you go right there. I know that the grading system's off sometimes. But what they put out yesterday, is they're going through and they have their top 100 free agents, right, and for this offseason. Obviously, things can change a little bit, but the guys that are set to become free agents this offseason, and that list is up there, and there's quite a few Cardinals actually on that list, as you would expect. You know, Christian Kirk, you've got the Chandler Jones, you've got quite a few players. I think there were seven
Zach
on the
Ertz,
list.
Yeah, of course, James Conner, Chase Edmonds.
I think there were seven Cardinals in the top 100, but specifically the running backs they put out. And James Conner comes in at number three. Chase Edmonds comes in at number four. And this is not like a ranking of like, hey, we think this guy did the best. It's more, you know, these are the running backs that are going to be available in free agency if a team wants one. And look, Wolf, I know that James Conner's good, and I know what Chase Edmonds' value is too. But when you see the list of other running backs that are going to be available, it does make you wonder if somebody's just going to throw a lot of money at James Conner. I don't know anybody would throw a lot of money at Chase Edmonds yet, but they might want him. But when you look at the list of other running backs that are going to be available, it's not like there's anything amazing out there.
You're like, meh,
yeah,
right?
I'm kind of like, meh. Yeah.
And that's a weird thing, honestly, because now all of a sudden you're talking about a weak running back free agency that's waiting out there to happen. Uh-huh. And that is also going to add to the fact that, as you said, James Conner is going to get offered a boatload of money. That's what I think. He's 26. I think he's going to get offered a serious contract. And when I say that, I'm talking about 3 or 4 years.
Yeah. So would you give him 3 or 4 years?
Wow. What is exactly the number on those 3 and 4 years?
Well, I don't have that number for you.
I know exactly. That's the problem. You don't really know. I know this right now, that he was the embodiment of Steve Keim and what Steve Keim did in the offseason. I think of James Conner. This team got way more physical, and the leadership that it actually brought. Paul Calvisi tells some great stories of James Conner walking up and down the sideline, being the sideline reporter. Paulie would see that and know that. And listening to some of the things that he would say, you know, are you with me? Are you with me? You know, this is exactly the kind of thing that you need. But you got to do first before you can get over there and start barking.
Mm-hmm.
You got to do first. James Conner understands that. But so many times in the emotion of a game, too, you need that from dudes who are jacked up. And suddenly you look at him and you go, man, where's my intensity level? Where is it? Is it where it needs to be? It's something that really can be infectious on the sideline. And James Conner's one of those guys.
Well, Conner was number two in the NFL. Like you said, he sort of raises the bar, and you're going to have to match his intensity if you're on his team. If he's going to play that way, what are you going to go out there next to him and not play that way? It's going to be very obvious if you're not playing that way. Number two in the NFL in touchdowns on the ground behind only Jonathan Taylor. Obviously, Jonathan Taylor is not going anywhere.
Right, exactly.
Do you want the other names that are out there?
Can I just say this, too, in regard to James Conner? My question to him is going to be, James, you're going to share the position with another running back because that's what we believe here. Therefore, we're going to pay you that way. Are you okay with that? See, that's the question.
That's going to be tough.
That is the question, because are you going to say you're going to make him an every down back and you're going to pay him as an every down back? And yet the very thought of losing James Conner makes the hair on the back of my neck stand up.
Well, yeah, we identified this yesterday. I'm sure everybody, I'm guessing almost 100% of Cardinals fans feel the same way. The main guy this offseason, there's a lot of guys that are free agents right now on this Cardinals team. The main guy you got to keep is James Conner. And yet, when I look at this list, well, if they have seven guys that are you know, unrestricted free agents at the running back position, so I'll just work my way up from seven, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Rashad Penny, who was very good.
Rashad Penny played very, very well at the end of the season for the Seahawks.
But that's really been it. I mean, that doesn't mean he can't get better, but that was really it. Melvin Gordon, who's kind of bounced around a little bit lately now. Sony Michel,
no.
So then you're...
He's a good back. He's a good complimentary back. But I'm not going to compare him to James Conner.
No, and that's the problem, is if a team, and I'm sure there will be multiple teams looking for a running back this offseason, well, now I'm at your top four. They have Chase Edmonds, four. They have James Conner, three. They have Leonard Fournette, too. Leonard Fournette's pretty solid, although I would guess he probably wants to stay in Tampa.
Wow. You know what? Honestly, right now, I would take James Conner over Leonard Fournette. Thank you.
And then Cordarrelle Patterson, they have at number one, who is a very talented guy, but he hasn't really been able to put it together until this year as a true running back.
You know what? I've seen him pick up in blitz pickup, and I'll take James Conner. Thank you.
Mm.
I'm putting James Conner at the top of that list right there.
Well, that's even worse.
Now, listen, it's not just because he can be an every down back. It's not just that. It's that he proved just how valuable he was. What do you want? Situational football? You want to go short? You want to go third and short? Goal line? What do you want to do? Because he can do it all. You want to get blitz pickup? Third and obvious pass situation? He could do it. See, this is the thing, James. We want to keep you fresh. We can't pay you like an every down back. We can't do that. We need you to share the position, because we want to keep you fresh over the course of another 17-game season. Are you okay with that? And at this point, you have to wonder about James Conner. Maybe he'd be open to that.
Yeah, I'm sure he would be open to playing the same role on this team that he played this year, but is he going to be open to being paid like that if another team comes along? This is Cliff Kingsbury on Tuesday talking about how much he wants to keep working with James Conner.
Yeah, huge fans of both those guys. I mean, you can't ask for two guys that work harder, do things the right way. You know, they're dialed in each and every day, and they both earned, good deals as far as I'm concerned. I hope that we can afford both guys because they both had fantastic seasons and they deserve to get nice contracts. But I would love to have them both back. I think they complement each other really well in our system, and so I'm hoping that that's how it plays out.
Maybe that's what the hypothetical heated meeting was about. Hey, Cliff, don't go out there and say our players have earned good contracts. We know we have to negotiate with these guys. I guess the other side to that, Wolf, and these are not the only running backs that will be available, but presumably these are the top ones. I mean, I'll give Pro Football Focus the respect that they at least went through and found the top players at the position. You know, if you get priced out at James Conner, who else on this list are you comfortable with? Like, I would take Leonard Fournette.
Leonard Fournette.
But that's about it, right?
Yeah. Leonard Fournette. I would like him. Although I'll tell you again, Leonard Fournette coming out of the backfield is not James Conner coming out of the backfield. Wow, did he blow that stereotype of him away? The fact that he was only a power runner, a guy that would only run in between the tackles. He blew that away, out of the water. Craig didn't even know he had that kind of ability coming out of the backfield. I don't even know if Tomlin knew about it. why didn't they use him more as a receiver? Yeah, that is a question.
Why would you let him go if you knew he had
that, right?
But now you know, he did have 1 year where he was pretty good, just statistically, receiving out of the backfield for the Steelers. But it had been a couple years earlier. And then last year, I remember the Steelers going 11-0 and then falling apart down the stretch, and they couldn't do a lot of things. That wasn't James Conner's fault, but he wasn't part of the solution. He certainly was at the forefront of the solution here for the Cardinals this season. So I maintain that's their top priority. And then I see that list, and I'm like, great, that he might be other teams' priorities too. And if some other team pries him away, I don't know who the Cardinals are going to go out there and get at that position. I like Leonard Fournette a lot, but to your point, specifically for a fit of what the Cardinals need, Fournette would be fine, but he's not. They needed James Conner because they just didn't have a lot of guys like that. Text us your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. Which teams do we have moving on to the next round of the NFL playoffs? We'll make our predictions and drink hot sauce at the same time. Hot Takes is next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Football Friday with Wolf and Luke. Presented by 72 Sold. Get your price. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
All right, it is. It's Friday, Wolf. I'm an idiot. I don't know if I've ever told you this, but
okay,
yeah, okay. Left the door open.
Honestly, I'm not going to do that. That was just too easy. That was easy.
I know it's Friday. I know we're doing hot takes. I forgot that we were doing hot takes, so I proceeded to not eat anything all day. And then, at like 10 minutes ago, last break, I was like, "Oh, there's chocolate out in the newsroom," so I ate some of that. So I'm going to be drinking hot sauce after just having eaten nothing but chocolate. That's how I prepared.
You've never had that?
Hot sauce on chocolate?
Yeah.
I love how you say these
chocolate
things like
covered hot sauce?
Everybody puts hot sauce on their ice cream and they're just like, no, people don't do that.
It's so good.
I disagree. All right. Well, it's time for hot takes.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Oh, it's hot.
The segment with hot topics and even hotter sauce.
You want an atomic pepper?
I got some milk.
This is Hot Takes with Wolf and Luke.
Okay, Erin Maloney is here. She's going to throw out a topic of debate or question. You got to drink the shot of hot sauce before you can answer. Erin, can I ask one clarification? Are these four different sauces?
Yes.
They are. Okay.
But they're no different than last week.
This one feels physically warm.
Okay, honestly, I'm taking the... Where's
it's called
the
room
thick
temperature.
One? Give me the thick one first.
No, don't
this
do
one
that.
Is
Why would you
brutal.
Do that?
This is brutal.
No, you build to that.
Okay.
I'll be doing that
last. What's the question?
Okay. All right.
So, we're going to go over the NFL divisional round, and I want to hear your predictions. Wolf, you gave us score predictions last week. Let's see if you're feeling that spicy today.
Oh, look at
Starting off on Saturday, we have the Bengals versus the Titans at 2:30 in Nashville.
Okay. Oh. What a mistake this was. A mistake I keep making every Friday.
It's just so thick.
Why did you drink the thick one first?
Okay.
Bengals, Titans.
We got Joe Burrow, Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Titans run the ball, man. The Titans run the ball, and the Bengals haven't been great defending the run, Basinonians. Interestingly, the Bengals throw the ball, and the Titans haven't been great at defending the throw or the pass. So where most people would say, you pick, I'm going to say, oh, no. The beatdown, the physical beatdown that the Bengals are about to ensue is going to come from Derrick Henry, ladies and gentlemen. They're going to line him up, and he's going to attack the line of scrimmage. And Ryan Tannehill, sneaky good in terms of play-action pass, and because of that, I say the Titans win this game by a touchdown.
Oh, by a touchdown. Tennessee's favored by 3.5. I kind of want to go Cincinnati in this game. I'm going to go with Tennessee. I'm going to give Derrick Henry the respect. I'm going to give the Titans the respect to being the number one seed. I really want to pick Cincinnati, but I can't feel my tongue because of the hot sauce, so I'll just say Tennessee.
Okay, cool.
The other game on Saturday, 6:15 at Lambeau Field, you have the Packers hosting the 49ers. The 49ers.
No, that was a thick one. That's terrible. Green Bay. Green Bay is going to win the game.
Good luck.
We're all winners. Green Bay is going
to
win.
The team that runs the ball better should be the team that wins this game. Especially if it does get a little nasty. It's going to be a little nasty to begin with up at Lambeau Field, is it not, my brothers? 12 degrees in it. And of course, you know what's coming. It's going to drop. The temperature is going to drop as the game goes on. That's what's going to be awesome in the fourth quarter. Please.
It doesn't sound so bad right now.
Please let there be snow at some point in time. A.J. Dillon is going to hammer the box, and the defensive line for the 49ers is the deepest room they have on their team. The 49ers are going to run the ball. You better believe it, because they have to. They cannot put Jimmy G in a one-dimensional situation, because if they do, the 49ers have no chance. They're going to run the ball, and Jimmy G is going to throw the ball 23 times. How about that for a prediction?
How specific.
Yeah.
23 times. You want predictions? You want hot takes? There's a hot take for you.
Keep talking, because I just found the fourth one, and I hate the fourth one. Yeah, you didn't give us a winner. You just said the team that runs the ball better.
And then that Jimmy G was going to throw 23 times.
Yeah, but you know, I gave out scores last week. I thought I'd go ahead and do what I typically do. The team that runs the ball the best is going to win.
I'm
going
to say the team that scores more wins the game. The team with more points.
You know what? I'm going to say the Green Bay Packers win because of A.J. Dillon.
Green Bay is going to win. There's too many different ways they can win, and if it's close late, I'll definitely trust Aaron Rodgers over Jimmy Garoppolo.
On Sunday, you have the L.A. Rams versus Buccaneers at 1 o'clock in Tampa.
I just want to say, I know we're on the third shot. I actively hate whatever that fourth shot is. Like, I cannot stand it. But we're still on the third shot, so here we go.
Chunky.
Yeah.
Okay. I just don't care about this game. Of the four games, I really don't. I just want the Bucs to destroy the Rams. I want them to destroy
that could happen.
The Rams. And I honestly think that it will happen, as a matter of fact. Todd Bowles is going to figure out a way to get to Matthew Stafford.
Going to have Kelly Stafford throwing pretzels all over again.
And suddenly, guess what? They're going to put all of that pressure on Matthew Stafford that the Cardinals should have put on him. The Bucs will have the opportunity to do that, and then we'll find out about Matthew Stafford.
Tampa Bay definitely should win. It's Tom Brady. It's the playoffs. It's the Rams on a short week. I kind of think the Rams are going to win.
Ew,
it doesn't make any sense. Can I leave this hot sauce if I have to go? I think I'm going to take the Rams.
Oh, I love that. How about that? Rams. Write that down. Somebody write that down.
I cannot stand the smell of this one.
All righty, guys. Then, lastly, we head to Arrowhead Stadium for the Chiefs hosting the Bills at 4:30 on Sunday.
Ugh. This is like drinking a tire.
Okay, listen.
Just make your pick.
This is really, really bad. Honestly, this is a coin toss. I have no idea who to pick in this game. I think this is going to be the most competitive game. There's no doubt about it. But I would say this to you, basically. As you're watching this game, watch how many times the Bills put Josh Allen under center and how many times the Chiefs put Pat Mahomes under center. These are the two teams that are more shotgun teams that are left. Watch their offense, but watch what they also do in certain situations with their quarterback under center.
That is horrible. Like,
Buffalo is going to win.
Did we make that ourselves or something, that last one? How did you drink the last one?
What are you talking
about? That was awful.
That was fantastic.
That was like drinking a tire. There's no better description I could give. It was hideous.
It was fantastic.
The other three, okay, yeah, I would put them on my food. I don't know what that fourth one is. Buffalo. I'm going to go with Buffalo.
You've been with
Buffalo
all year.
I feel like I got to stick with the Buffalo Bills.
I had to do a 180 on my Bills, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm certainly back in the saddle once again with Buffalo. Here we go.
Just terrible. All right, that was Hot Shots. No, Hot Takes. What was it? What show was this? All right. It was Hot Takes. The golf tournament. Oh, good. There's a read, too. The golf tournament hailed as the People's Open returns to the TPC Scottsdale as the Waste Management Phoenix Open tees off February 7th and runs through February 13th. Head to the contest page at ArizonaSports.com right now for your chance to win tickets. Plus, one lucky winner will win greenskeeper passes. All right. Coming up, what can the Cardinals learn from the Phoenix Suns? We'll get into that next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Football Friday with Wolf and Luke.
Alert, alert, alert!
Presented by 72 Soul. Get your price. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Yeah, Football Friday. So what did we do? Who did we actually take there? I took Green Bay, Tennessee, L.A., and Buffalo. And then you, did you go Green Bay, Tennessee, Tampa, and Kansas City?
Yeah, something like that.
All right, I mean. it's all blur at this point anyway.
Honestly, I cannot even believe how wrong I was last week in everything. Not everything.
No, I mean, you
just totally messed it up, man. Even right down to the Steelers game in that first half, I was looking at that game. You got to be kidding me how well the Steelers were playing. The Steelers defense, how well they were playing.
But then it was 35-7.
And then all
so
of a sudden
right.
It was ba-boom.
Yeah. Ba-boom. You sound like a, I don't know, you sound like you're from Jersey Shore right there with that. All right, so the Phoenix Suns now up to 35-9. We talked about this a little bit earlier, Wolf. When you compare these two teams, you have the Suns, you have the Cardinals. Earlier this year, the Cardinals were 10-2. At the same time, the Suns were 20-4. You had two teams that were not just on like similar paths, they were on identical paths. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the exact same winning percentage in everything. Now, it's a little bit different in the sense that the Suns were in the NBA Finals this past summer and the Cardinals were in the playoffs on Monday for the first time in 6 years. And obviously the Suns' path to get here, they were a lot further down for longer. The Cardinals did bottom out and get the number one overall pick, but they weren't that far down for that long. But either way, neither team's had a ton of playoff success until last year. The Suns have had it. The Cardinals didn't have it this year. And so it kind of seems natural to look at the two teams and say, if you could take a characteristic or two from the Suns and put it on the Cardinals next season, what would it be?
Yeah, you know, honestly, next season, what would it be? The culture of the Phoenix Suns overall, it's what I love. The talent and the toughness that they have. They have a great collection of talent. We all know that. Yet at the same time, that talent may actually pale in comparison to the toughness of the Phoenix Suns. That's what makes them so great. You can have all the talent in the world, Luke. I've seen it over and over and over again, not only in the game of football, but in other sports as well, where you've got this hyper-talented team, but guess what? For whatever reason, they just can't pull it together. They can't summon that talent on a regular basis. And they lose from time to time. They lose. They can't consistently bring that kind of talent to bear. And that's why I was so jacked up about the Arizona Cardinals this year. After watching them for 3 months go 10-2, 3 months watching this team, they had the talent and they were tough. They were resilient. They were overcoming adversity and winning games. And something happened. It all went bye-bye. 1-5 down the stretch, including what we saw on Monday night. What can they take? You said it best earlier, so I'm going to wait for you to say it again.
Yeah, for me, it's along the lines of what you're saying, but it's the ability to handle adversity mid-game. Like you see the Cleveland game. The Cardinals find out they don't have some of their coaches before that. They were missing, you know, Kyler Murray for 3 games at one point, and they went 2-1. They could handle adversity if it came up on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday. But where they struggled, Wolf, is if they fell behind in a game, they just didn't really come back very much this season. They had a couple games early in the season. Minnesota, they were down in the first half, came back and won. But there's a difference between, hey, we're down 17-14 in the second quarter, and then we won. We went up 21. There's a difference between that and they're like, okay, we're down 10, or we're down going into the fourth quarter. They never came back in those, like, for a team that played well when they were backed into a corner, like, hey, you're going into Tennessee and you got to stop Derrick Henry, or, you know, you got to beat the Rams in L.A. back on October 3rd. A team that played so well in those situations, if they got up against the wall in the middle of a game, they never, this entire season has passed, they don't have like a signature comeback at all anywhere. Your comebacks are against Jacksonville, a team you should have handled anyway. And they came back. That was, you know,
right.
The way they did it was good.
Yes.
And the other comeback everybody points to is you're down 5-0 to Houston early second quarter. Like, okay. One touchdown, you're winning again.
I know. You know what? Honestly, there are three games that really, really bother me going forward. Three games. And I know everyone's going to say there's a lot more than three, Wolf, and you're right about that, based on earnings. But for me, there are three games. Jacksonville was one of those games. They should have never, to your point, they should have never been in that situation where they had to come back in the fourth quarter. Now, I'm glad they did.
Yeah.
Once again, it was great, a great experience for them early on, and yet they should have never been in that situation. And then the Houston Texans as well, just how poorly they started that game. Now, they scored 31 unanswered points after the Texans took a 5-0 lead. I believe it was 5-0 after the first quarter.
Yeah, 5-0 right at the end of the first. Okay. They won 31-5.
And then it's the Detroit game. Going to Detroit. Man, in retrospect right now, that was warning. Warning. Warning, Will Robinson. Warning. Google it, my young crooks. The bells and the whistles were going off. Right there. And when they lost the next week, and I said it at the time, I remember saying, you know what, okay, the Detroit game was bad. It was really bad, but man, it's really going to get me if they don't rally and win on Christmas Day against the Indianapolis Colts.
Much
and
tougher
I didn't,
game.
I didn't mean just play well. I meant win the game at home, knowing what was at stake. And they lost that game. It's not that they played poorly or horribly. They did not. But they lost that game.
I mean, if you just beat Detroit, you win the division, don't you? Yeah, you win the division. You're playing San Francisco or whoever. I mean, you can't give those games away. And you're right. You know, we point to the losses. We point to the, and I am pointing to the fact that they just really couldn't rally in games. But you just point to three of games that should have been almost automatic wins, and they struggled with Jacksonville. They handled Houston, but they started slow, and then they never even got going against Detroit. So, yeah, I would like what the Suns have of just they're never out of a game, and that was shown again in the fourth quarter last night. All right, that will do it for us here today and this week. Thanks to Erin Maloney for producing and all her hard work behind the glass all week long. Of course, for Wolf, I'm Luke. We've got Burns and Gambo coming up next right here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.